How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. Rachel, thanks so much for joining me on the Organize 365 podcast.
Thanks for having me.
How did you first find Organize 365?
I'm pretty sure I found it on Facebook, kind of a junkie as far as that thing goes. So somewhere on the internet for sure. But I signed up for the 100 days via Facebook.
Okay. And tell us about the people who live in your home.
I am a widow of 3 years and I have two teenagers, a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old.
I'm really sorry about that. That has to be challenging in many ways.
It is. Thank you. I think my story is similar to some others in that when you go through something difficult, you start to let a lot slide. And so it was time to kind of dig out from under that. It's been 3 years. Things are getting a little bit back to whatever normal is. And so it was time to really tackle the house because I've been focused on other things, and that's okay.
And is that why you decided to start getting organized now?
Yeah, I think, you know, in order for things to run more smoothly and for us just to kind of move on, you know, there were just some things that we needed to get fixed up around the house so that life was easier for us the way it is now. And so I think that was probably a motivating factor. I also started an online school. I'm just kind of trying to make some changes, you know, to move on with things. So,
and can you think of I know this is off script, so you might need a minute or two, but can you think of anything in the last 3 years where you're like, okay, this is specifically something that I wanted to change going forward, and kind of how you made that decision and started taking the first steps? I know there are a lot of women who maybe not are widowed, but possibly are divorced or for whatever reason are in a similar place that you are. And they're like, oh, I wish you would dive into that a little bit more, if you don't mind sharing.
If you go to a specific group that says, let's say it's a divorce and, you know, what do I do with his stuff that he left here? Or as a widow, you know, what do I do with his stuff that is still here? That kind of thing. That's a specific thing. But I think what's in common is that when you're ready to have a change, then the change, you know, things kind of fall into place. Like, okay, it's time to change this. Even if it's, you know what, this room isn't working for us. There's one fewer person in the house. We could do this instead, you know, that sort of thing. I think that there's a caution to making really big changes right away when something happens. They usually tell you to wait a year, which is fine. And usually you're so exhausted from whatever it is that you can't really tackle something big. But after that, you know, you can really rethink your everything. I mean, some people move, which I don't recommend. I love my house and I'm staying put, but I can do things that, you know, make it more manageable for just the three of us.
So share about your laundry room. You were telling me about that before we got started. Is that one of the things that you changed that maybe you could share?
Yes. This room used to be my craft room, which meant that I was staring at this entire room of undone projects, things lying around everywhere, and walking in, you know, and it was on my second floor where the bedrooms were. So I saw it every single day. And we have a really old house, you know, built in the 1900s. And so we have a laundry chute, which is charming, which meant that the washer and dryer were in the basement because that's what you do with a laundry chute. And just realizing how ridiculous it was to throw clothes down two flights and wash them and dry them in the basement that's not the greatest basement, not a finished basement, and then drag them up two flights of stairs, sometimes folding them on the first floor, sometimes folding them on the second floor, and then putting them back in the rooms that are on the second floor. It was ridiculous. And my kids are good. They're helpful. You know, they did that steps stuff, but it was just, so ridiculous. And so finally made the commitment for a second floor laundry, and it's the best thing ever. So my laundry's up here, and I had some people say, why are you getting, I just got an apartment washer and dryer, the kind that stack. Because I do laundry often enough. I don't need a huge washer. Yeah. I don't, you know, so it works for us. So yeah, that was a big change. So now this room is this beautiful carpeted office-y kind of room that happens to have a washer and dryer in it. And I love it. It's great.
And I think that is so helpful. Like, especially if you're going to stay in your home. I've been in my home so long that every room in this house has served multiple purposes except for our kitchen and master bedroom. Every other room has become so many different things. And as we continue to stay here, will become different things. So I think that's really helpful. Thanks for sharing, Rachel. Mm-hmm. All right. So you decided that you were ready to make some changes and get organized. And what time of year was this? And what did you do first?
Really resonated with me your idea of the three different years thing, because fall has always been for me refreshing. I mean, most of it, send the kids off, you know. That's great. Like, now I have some free time, but it's also it feels more refreshing even to me than saying spring cleaning, things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just I started doing some schooling as well. And so it kind of all happened at the same time, which on one hand you would think, oh my gosh, you know, too many things at once. But I find the busier I am, the more I get done, because the more motivated I am to stay kind of on track and on schedule. And so it was actually easier for me to fit in school and getting organized in the fall. So that's when I got started. This is my first time through. And I've done a lot of other things. I've done a lot of other organizing things. I've looked at Marie, and I've looked at Dana, and I've touched on all the things, and I take and leave things, you know, that work. Uh-huh. But what I really liked about this, and what I'm really enjoying, is even if I don't get to one of the organization cleaning tasks that we're on schedule with, that's fine. I know we're going to come back around to it, which is great. You know, it's not sitting there nagging me. And the other thing is, with the Sunday basket, I'm a list maker. I make lists all the time. And so then I would say, okay, I'm going to get a planner. And I can't tell you how many planners and planner systems and notebooks and those ones where you can take the pages in and out, or just using just one I can write in, or a bullet journal. I mean, I'm just all over the place. And what I realized was, that's all well and good and beautiful, but when I have everything that I'm supposed to do or need to do or should do with me all the time, it's overwhelming. I look at it and go, oh, there's this list. And whereas sometimes that's like, well, you know, today I can choose which one of these I want to do. That's not the way it ends up. It ends up that I look at it and go, ugh, there's so much. Like, I'm never going to get to it. And some of the stuff, you know, I'll say, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'll cross it off. But for the most part, they're just nagging things like, I really should do this. I really do want to do this, but I never make time to. And so the Sunday basket has really helped me with that, because I can just say, okay, it's on my radar, but I'm not thinking about it all the time. It's on a list somewhere, but not on the one that I look at every day. And I can just say, okay, if it's really something that I want to do, some one of these Sundays, I will pick it out as a thing I'm going to do this week, and I will plan to do it. And that's just, I mean, that can be for fun stuff and for crummy stuff. Like, I have to fix the faucet in my bathroom. It's leaking. It's been leaking. I look at it every morning and it drips, and I go, I need to fix that. I could call a plumber, but I also know how to do it myself. I just haven't done it. So, but I can say, okay, you know what? Instead of having that on a list that I see every day, like, when are you going to do that? When are you going to do that? I have it written down. I'm probably going to wait until I get to bathrooms in the organizing thing and say, okay, that's a task I need to do in my bathroom. Now I'll tackle that. So before, it would be just literally a dripping faucet nagging me every day. And now it's just, okay, that's a thing. I know, you know, that's written down somewhere. I'm going to get to that, but I don't have to think about it today. So that's just been a big relief.
Yeah. And I know some people may be thinking, and I think this too, well, When do those things eventually raise to the top of your to-do list? And I'll tell you what happens for me is I'll go through my Sunday basket on Sunday, and I've been deferring a lot of those things like leaky faucets and returning this thing and getting the shoe fixed. And I'll be like, that's it. I will just make a gigantic list, and I will block out half a day or whatever it takes, and I will put it all in the car, and I will get a Starbucks, and I will start going through, and somewhere along the line, I'm getting Culver's onion rings to keep me going. And I'll just plow through like 20 things, like either at home or outside of the house. Like I had a gigantic list at home, and it was exactly that. Abby's sink needed to be fixed, and I had to call all these people. So the dog goes to daycare every other Thursday, and this house was swarming with people. The house was clean. The carpet cleaner was here. The plumber was here. Like all of the people came in, and I was just checking things off the list. And while they were doing that, I was doing stuff too. And that, like, I took the day off work and I wasn't working. I was doing other household related tasks. So at the end of the day, all that got checked off. So it's not like we put this in our Sunday basket and we never do it. But a lot of these little things that you used to do every single day, or like you said, right from to-do list to to-do list to to-do list, they can wait 8 or 10 weeks. And then you just do them all in one fell swoop and clean out that basket again. Now, I know some of you are saying, do you know how much water you're wasting when the thing is dripping? You know, as soon as I fix one, the next one starts dripping. I mean, it's just household maintenance. It's never ending. Rachel is nodding so hard that her head is going to fall off in agreement.
I have a 100-year-old house. There's always something that needs to be fixed.
And sometimes I even think, why address the thing I know that's next? Because as soon as I do that, something new is going to pop on the list. You know?
Yeah. Or when I clean my floor, that's when we spill the Coke. That's just how it is.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So we are very normal women over here that you're listening to. I mean, that's exactly what I think. Yes, because we all think the same thing. We think that we think these things and no one else are thinking these same exact thoughts. No, we're all thinking that we are more alike than we are different. And that's what I hope everyone's getting from these Wednesday podcasts. Okay, what I love is basically you went back to school this fall and you enrolled in your online courses and you enrolled in Organize 365, the 100-day program as a course. And you sent the kids off to school and then you started school. I love this.
Yeah, I love fall. You know, it's even better. I think of buying school supplies and, you know, getting excited about choosing classes and things. And it's just, it's energizing to me. I love it. So yeah, this has worked really well. And it's helped too, because I have to block out time for schoolwork. So that's already a given that I'm kind of getting in the habit of, okay, you know, this is when I have class, this is when I have to do my assignments. And then I, you know, I tuck the other things in there too. So that, that's been working for me. And like I said about the planners, like I have done so many different planners. And if you're familiar with Gretchen Rubin, which I know you are, yep. I am a rebel, which means I can't make me and neither can you. And so I struggle with, I'll give myself a schedule and then I'll say, forget it. Yeah. Like I'm not even going to look at that, you know? So now it's bare bones. Like you must go to these things, you must do these things, and then those other things just come along as, you know, as I get to them, instead of this guilty list that's staring me in the face every morning. So.
And what are you going to school for?
Paralegal.
Oh, awesome. That's so cool. Yeah. I just love learning. Like I would be perpetually enrolled in, I've thought about going back to school to be a lawyer, to get a cognitive psychology PhD. Like I would be enrolled in all that stuff.
It's fascinating to me, specifically the law and things like that, but I honestly don't know that I'm going to do anything with this. Yeah. I just was really interested and I decided to do it. And it's been really fun. And it's been good to stretch, you know, to kind of work the brain a little bit. So that's been good.
I love it. All right. So when was the first time you noticed something was organized that wasn't organized before?
Oh, how about, so my food, I just rearranged my food situation because I am terrible at meal planning and I am terrible at cooking. Like I don't enjoy it. And so I don't think to do it. And then the kids come home and we stare at each other and eat cereal or something. Like it's just, it's ridiculous. And so, and there are only three of us. It's not like I have to make a giant meal for, you know, a whole table full of people. But I found because I'm a visual person and because I'm very out of sight, out of mind, I took pictures of my food. And you talk about, you know, wasting water or wasting trees. I took pictures of my food and I printed out those pictures. Okay. Now that seems really weird, but when I do that, I know exactly what I have everywhere. And when I pull out my Sunday basket, I have my binder that has all of my food in it. And then I can look without getting up and saying, oh, do we have this? And going and checking. I know it's right there. And if there's something that we need to use right away, you know, I can have it right on top. Like, okay, this needs to be eaten. This needs to be used or whatever. And so because of that, I'm not buying extra food because I don't know if I have it or not and cramming it in my cabinet. You know, I'm not waiting till the last minute to try to throw something together and nothing's thawed, you know, that sort of thing. Cause I already know what's in there. And that just has been a big relief for me because I feel, honestly, I have felt like such a failure at this whole housekeeping thing when the food part comes in. You know, like, oh, right, so I got to feed these people.
You don't mean you're taking a picture of your dinner. You mean you're taking a picture of, like, your pantry and your ingredients.
Yep. I take a picture of every single thing. So when I get, like, a Walmart delivery, I lay it out on the dining room table, take pictures of all of it, put it away. Then I have it. Now, you could do this digitally if you were, you know, you could just have those pictures on your phone and you know, scratch them off as you use them or however, you know, because I don't do one picture per thing. You know, I take a group picture, right? So here are all the frozen vegetables. You take a picture of that. But yeah, that just makes it so because, and I just realized that I have the best intentions when I go grocery shopping and I think, oh, I'll make this with this and this and this. And then I put it away and it's gone forever. Like, I might as well not have even had that idea because it's gone. So this has been working for me.
That's so interesting. I do a similar thing with organized 365 inventory because it's not in my house anymore. It's at the warehouse. So I go over and I take pictures of all the shelves on my phone and we have a digitally updated inventory that Janet updates all the time or will run numbers if I need her to. But for me, I need to see the bulk quantity, like how many 1.0 boxes do we physically have? Or like you could tell me a number on the sheet, but what size is that in the inventory? And then I kind of like do all of my inventory by gut feel, like, oh, that's getting a little low. I need to order more. Yes.
Yep.
Very visual. So, okay. I would love to hear how many other people are going to start implementing this. And I think I just wrote a note, like, food organization, I'm not a cook. We all know that. But I think most of America is going through a food change right now. Very few people are eating today the way they ate 10 years ago, especially the way they grew up. And I feel like eating right now is so complicated because we've learned so much more about nutrition and whole food nutrition and all of those options that are out there. And so we're trying to eat healthier and better and changing our diet. But then that also means changing a lot of habits, like how we store food, how we prepare food, and then is our family changing their food likes and preferences at the same time? And then I'm doing some experimentation, like almost everything has almonds in it, but almonds give me a migraine, I've just noticed anecdotally. So if you get healthy and you go towards almonds, I can't have those. And so people are noticing all kinds of food sensitivities and intolerances that are not allergies. And I just think that food is such a loaded and heavy thing right now that I love this. I don't know what's in, I could have an inventory of my freezer, but I'm always buying new brands and stuff right now that I don't know what it is. Like I just ordered these Daily Harvest. They're these like smoothies. Oh, have you tried them?
Oh, I love them every day. Yep.
Okay. So this is how far I got. I picked out 9 and I paid for them and they've been here for a week. And I'm even thinking today, like I could go have one and here's where I'm hung up. Do you add water to that? Do you add rice milk? Do you add milk? How do I make it a smoothie, Rachel? How do I turn it into how I can have it?
I add almond milk, which you can't have. But you could add coconut milk or soy milk or regular milk. If you add regular milk, it makes it a lot frothier. Thicker? Yeah. Okay. But well, I mean, if you add that, then
I don't have a problem with milk. I know like 80% of the world is allergic to milk. I don't have a problem with milk. So I might just try milk. I think I bought coconut milk. So see, your solution would work for me because I think about what I'm going to eat tomorrow after my bath while I'm laying in bed. And I don't want to go downstairs and look in my freezer. Plus, here's the other thing. I bought 9 smoothies. 4 are the same, you know, 2 of 4 of them and then 1 oddball. And so I don't know which one I'm hungry for because I can't remember what I bought. And I have to go all the way downstairs to see what that is and then figure out what to put in there. And by then, you know what I do? I make a frozen pizza.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking you're brilliant. That's all I have to say about that.
Oh, thanks.
Love it. I'm gonna try the taking a photo of my refrigerator and freezer. Yeah. Okay. So what has happened since you started on this journey of organization that you did not expect to happen? Because it sounds like you've been working on getting organized, but have there been any surprises? I know you're just in the beginning stages.
I think that some rooms are streamlined and some rooms are not, you know, so it's different for everything, but I think I've gotten rid of a lot more than I thought that I could. I tend to do the what ifs with keeping things. What if? So, and just to say, and honestly, in this stage of our lives, to say, have I used this in 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a timeline I can look back on. You know, that whole, well, put something in a box, and if you haven't touched it in a year, right, you can probably get rid of it. Well, I can look back on 3 years and say, I haven't mm-hmm. touched this. I haven't needed this. It needs to go. And so that's been a surprise, just the number of things, because you feel like sometimes you feel like you have to kind of hold on to things when you go through something traumatic. You know, you try to like cling to things, and it's been so freeing to, you know, go the opposite direction with that and just kind of let things go and say, wow, you know what? I haven't needed this in 3 years. I'm not the one who used this, so it can go, mm-hmm. and that's okay. You know, Fly Lady says, let somebody else, you know, let it bless somebody else. So that's what I try to do. And the kids are perfectly willing to help out if they know what to do. And if they have, you know, they're willing to put things away if I give them a clear place to put things away. I don't blame them for stacking things someplace when they don't know where to put it, because I do mm-hmm. the same thing. So when there are fewer things in that cabinet, it's easier to put things away. And that just... that makes everything, you know, go more smoothly.
And they're 13 and 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like 6th and 8th, 9th grade or 7th and 9th grade?
7th and 9th, yeah.
Okay. So they are definitely moving out of that grade school, you know, playing with lots of toys. They probably have their few passion projects. They're moving into that high school mentality. There are a lot of things once your youngest one is in middle school that you can let go of that you're not going to need anymore.
Yeah,
it's a good time to do.
Toys kicking around anymore, which is nice. they have their rooms with their stuff, and some things migrate, but mostly, you know, they're in their rooms. So yeah, that is nice.
So how are the kids liking your new organizing class?
So my daughter comes in and says, "Okay, so now where does everything go now?" And I didn't change where it goes because I didn't need to. It's going to be easier to put things away. And my son is so into organizing. He has gone to friends' houses and they have sent me messages and been like, "Your son just cleaned my kitchen." Like, he really likes to do that kind of thing and put things in order. And he'll get frustrated with me because I'll say, "Okay, don't sort that. Don't organize that, 'cause I'm going to get rid of half of it. Like, don't," you know, but he just mm-hmm. likes to do that sort of thing. And so we have made a team effort of a couple projects. We were in the basement 2 weeks ago, and he just loved it. He was having such a good time helping and cleaning, and he's the 13-year-old, and he's just all about it. So that's been great. And they're encouraging. I mean, they can see the progress. They, you know, they know that it's a good thing. So that, you know, that carries over to them too. Hopefully they'll pick up some habits and, you know, improve.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So what do you have more of now?
I don't have more time, but I have more space. And that mm-hmm. makes it feel like I have more time. There are certainly rooms, and I'm still working on my bedroom right now. It's exploded because I'm working on that closet. So there are things on the floor that I trip over, but in the room that I've worked on, I'm not tripping over things. And that's physically actually tripping over them, or just you open a cabinet and things fall out, or, you know, that sort of thing. And you don't ever realize, I don't think, how much of an impact that has on your mood and your motivation when you just, every time you try to, you know, I'll make this smoothie, and then you can't find the smoothie thing, you know, like it's just, and then that just like 15 minutes, either you're in a bad mood or you're looking for the smoothie thing. And it's like, you know, it can really mess up your day. Just those little tiny things. And so when you can just walk in and do what you're supposed to do in the room you're supposed to do it in and walk back out, it's just, it gives you so much more time. In that, I won't say time, it's brain space. You know,
brain space.
You're not frustrated in 5 minutes. So,
yep.
But physically, I have a really big house and all the rooms are very big. And so that gives you the option of filling them with stuff. And so what I'm appreciating is that I bought this house because every room was big and square and had lots of space and you could lay on the floor. And now I'm able to do that in a couple more rooms. So that's been nice.
Fun. So what do you have less of, obviously, than less stuff?
Less stuff. Let's see. Well, less frustration. And again, I just keep coming back to the brain space, just the nagging to-do list, the nagging, I should be doing this. You know, if I sit down to have a cup of coffee, should I be also doing something at this? No. That's on my list, but it's not today, and that's fine, you know?
That's huge.
Yeah, brain space is definitely mm-hmm. a monumental thing.
Yeah. So what do you wish you knew sooner?
Well, when you go through something like we did and a loss, you have people who are so willing to pitch in and help. And, you know, people say anything I can do, and they mean it, but they don't really know how to best help. And I had one person say, I'm going to do your laundry. I like to do laundry. I'm coming over. I'm going to get your laundry and I'm going to do it. And that was such a blessing and such a relief. And I realized if you need help and you ask for it, there are plenty of people who have the time and they're very willing to help you. And you don't have to go through some sort of tragedy for that to happen. You know, if I'm not very good at meal planning and I know somebody is and they'd love to help me do that, they could do that. And if I want to pay somebody to help me do that, that's okay too. That gives me more time to do the things that I'm better at and that I like to focus on. So, you know, I've had a house cleaner come in and I don't feel guilty about that because that's something they're gifted in. They do it fast. They do it better than I would do. And then it's done. And I feel more motivated to do the other things that I need to do. So, accepting help, whether it's paid help or just, you know, friends, is a big deal, I think, for culturally probably, you know, maybe it's something that it used to be that your mom came over and helped you do, yeah. But now you live in different states, you know? So I think as a society, I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves where we could actually be outsourcing a little bit and saying, hey, I'm, or watch my kids while I, you yeah. know, tackle something. Or I think there's a lot of pressure to just to do it all yourself, and you should be able to do it all yourself and have a baby on the hip while you're stirring yes. a pot of spaghetti. But reality is that baby could like steal the spoon and splatter spaghetti all over. And, you know, there are reasons that people
yeah.
offload tasks. And you shouldn't feel guilty about that. You don't need to feel guilty about that. So I think that's something that if I had known that sooner, I probably wouldn't be as behind in a lot of my projects and things. Because I think I would have made more time for them and given the other tasks maybe to somebody else to handle for me so I could, you know, move along.
That's huge. That's really big. Like to not only realize that other people can do things that you can also do yourself, like you're still obviously doing your own plumbing, but also it's the financial, you know, I mean, everything costs time or money and we don't really want to pay in either way. But you're going to pay in both ways, so it's determining which ones, or it's not going to get done. And not getting done is fine, too. Like, that, mm-hmm. that is an okay decision as well. But especially in your situation, I mean, you are the mom and the dad and the homeowner and the, you know, household operator and the cook and the chauffeur, and nobody's driving in that house yet. I mean, the next couple of years are going to be the hardest for you time-wise.
Right.
Organization is going to give you more mental space. I don't know as you're going to get more time space until your oldest is driving, and even then it's nerve-wracking. but when your youngest is driving, then all of a sudden you are going to get a lot more space.
Right.
So you've got a couple, you know, yeah, 3-4 years.
I'm in the thick of it right now with that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It's a crazy It's almost like a second toddlerhood, you know, like when they're in middle school, early high school. Uh-huh. I'm just telling you, grade school years are the best. It's like right. home in the middle of the two storms.
Yeah.
So what's your next step, Rachel?
So I am making the Sunday basket work. I'm not as good at what I'm working on now is trying to incorporate, you know, you say passion projects and things for me or just larger projects. It's kind of a challenge to block off time for those for me. I think, well, what other thing is pressing? You know, what could I be doing that seems more important? And so that's a challenge. And I think, I also have so much clutter to get rid of that's an ongoing thing, you know?
Don't you think your school though is a passion project for you?
Because
you haven't said you're not sure that you're going to turn that into a career.
Oh yeah. And that, because there's scheduled classes, that I can do, but you know, I like to craft, you know, I like to read, I have book clubs, I have, you know, I have hobbies that they're always on the back burner. You know, I never really.
I love this because, you obviously have a lot of time in your schedule for passion projects of things that you're doing, your schooling, the 100-day program is probably even a passion project, things like that. But yet I think you and I and everybody else are thinking, yes, but there's a book I want to read and there's a crafting project I want to do and there's a movie I want to see. And it's been a while since I went to just bought a new outfit for myself and just walked through the mall with not a care in the world. And we often will think that, well, I'm not getting my projects, but you are, like, you have a lot of time blocked off for projects. It's just that we're so multi-passionate. We want to do all the things.
Yeah.
And that has been really hard for me to say, like, okay, the thing I'm doing right now is this puzzle and this book. And when I'm done with this puzzle, then I say, okay, I think because I want to get back into my scrapbooking. So I'm like, okay, when I am done with this book, I'm going to go to scrapbooking for about a month. And then I'm going to go back to books and I'll let the books pile up while I do the scrapbooking because I only have so much time per week to do my passion projects. But I do have like 5 to 10 hours a week, like when you count up all the nooks and crannies. And if you put all of that into just one passion project at a time, you get a lot further in that passion project than trying to give 30 minutes to everything.
It's nice to have all of that in one space. So now I finally have it all. It's on the third floor. So that's a commitment. When I go up there, I'm creating something. I don't know what it is yet, but that's what I'm doing. So that's a nice kind of division. But I still don't, I find that I don't make time to do that sort of thing because I feel like other things. And right now, other things are pressing. I mean, to be honest, I need to be there for my teenagers when they come home from school. You know, so those things are more important right now. And I need to remember that I'll get to that other stuff. You know, there will be time.
Very cool. Okay, so what advice would you leave with someone who is just starting out?
The biggest thing for me is to be patient. I want it to be done and fixed and all done. And as much as Marie Kondo says you can do it at one go, I think it's unrealistic, depending on the project, to decide I'm going to finish this in one shot. Mm-hmm. Your process of, okay, you're going to go through the same spot 3 different times. You're going to come back to this. Like, you're going to come back to, just keep reminding yourself, I will come back to this. So if I don't get every cabinet cleaned out of my kitchen, the next round, I will be back to this and I can make this better, as opposed to I need to make it perfect now. I need to, you know, follow all the steps. And if I follow all these steps, Lisa says that my kitchen will be perfect. No, she does not. She says it'll be better. And the next time it'll be better than that. And then one day you'll turn around and go, I don't have to actually do anything in here except for maybe clean the counters because it's under control. So I think for me and for people like me, probably perfectionists and that sort of vein, like, you just want to get it all fixed all in one, you know, one weekend. We're going to do it. It's going to be done. And that's not how life works. So just to kind of go easy on yourself through the process and trust that you're going to come back to it, just like the Sunday basket. Trust that you wrote that down. You put it in the basket. You will not forget it because it's in there. But you don't have to keep it like spooling in your brain until you remember to do it. My son insisted he has a broken Wii, and he wants to get that fixed. And he's reminded me about every 2 days, probably. That's not an exaggeration. 2 days. Hey, are we going to go to the? Hey, are we going to go to the? I said, look, I wrote it down. I put it in that basket over there. Do you see that basket? Yes. Okay. On some days, I go through that. Like, I explain the process to him. Like, it will make it onto my calendar. You have to be patient with me, because I can't be thinking about this every 5 minutes when you bring it to my attention. And my Sunday basket, you're going to laugh. My Sunday basket is a grocery cart from Amazon. It's not like I swipe one, but so it's literally, like, I'll show you a picture. It's literally a two-tiered shot. And the reason is the top is this for all the stuff. It's big enough. Books,
cool.
Everything's in there. And then the bottom is the thing, like, behind you, like the actual file box with the slash pockets and the binder, the food binder thing. So that works for me. It's on wheels. I wheel it out onto the porch sometimes and work on my basket out there.
Okay, you definitely have to share a picture with
it. It's not beautiful, but it's so functional. Like, I'm not giving it up until I've done everything else, and everything else is beautiful because it's so useful. But yeah, that's what I do.
I love it. Rachel, I am so excited for all the progress you've already had. Cannot wait to see your Sunday basket, and can't wait to hear what it's like once you've been through the program 3 times. I can't even imagine. Rachel, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever, and I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.